Well, let's bring to these microphones now Ken Timmerman. He looks at geopolitical activities for us. And Ken, you know, I do not think that we can go moment by moment. We're not news reporters on the scene. Something may have happened since we went on the air, and so we won't be updated on it. But let's just talk about what is going on. First of all, that shoot down of the airliner over Ukraine. Are the fingerprints of Russia, do you believe, on that horrendous event that took place?
Jimmy, we don't know yet exactly what happened. However, from the news reporting, it appears that U.S. satellites detected the launch of the missile that shot down the Malaysian airliners and the point of impact in the air when it actually hit the aircraft. My information is that it was a SA-11 or SA-17, which is a ground-based mobile-launched missile. This is not something that terrorist groups could use. It's not something that a militia group could use. It is the type of mobile SAM, surface-to-air missile, that is employed by a organized military force. Now, there are also reports that it may have been an S-300, which is a far more sophisticated, much longer-range missile that is only in the hands of the Russians. I tend to suspect that the Russians are very worried that this information will come out. At the very least, the strike on the Malaysian plane did not take place in areas under the control of the Ukrainian government.
That's a very interesting point to discuss as we think about what did happen there over the skies of the Ukraine and in the eastern section of the Ukraine as well. Ken, what if Russia is responsible? What should be the response from the world, and what would probably be the response from the United States?
Well, let's separate what should be the response and what is likely to be the response. I do not expect the administration, the current administration, to take very vigorous measures. In fact, I would expect them to try to cover up as much as possible a potential Russian government involvement. But should Russia turn out to have been involved or to have actually ordered the shoot down, this is reminiscent of the taking down in the early 1980s by the Russians of the Korean airliner 007. And it's an act of state-sponsored terrorism, which we have many, many laws on the books in the United States to punish. That would include limits on investment. It would include an exclusion of the Russian government using the U.S. dollar financial clearing system. It would include sanctions at the United Nations level. You could see potentially Russia barred from the UN Security Council. This could be very far-reaching if we had an administration that was willing to act vigorously on hard intelligence. I just tend to doubt that we're going to see those kind of actions from this administration.
Will this incident, Ken, have any effect on the Ukrainian-Russian situation that is unfolding in our world today?
Again, Jimmy, we're waiting to find out the facts. And we just don't know. It certainly looks like this was a provocation. In other words, the shoot down was probably carried out by one group trying to blame another group. And you've seen already the Russian president saying, well, since it happened over Ukraine, it's the Ukrainian government that's responsible. So they are clearly trying to pin this on the Ukrainian government. But you know, provocative acts they can be traced to their origins, and I would expect that the Ukrainian government is going to turn increasingly to Europe and to the United States to seek a closer alliance with us against an overwhelmingly dominant and increasingly aggressive neighbor in Russia.
The other big story we're covering is the Israeli Defense Force invading the Gaza Strip. They have air power in the air. They have naval operations happening off the coast of the Gaza Strip there in the Mediterranean. Now, again, we cannot cover the moment-by-moment events that are unfolding there, but talk to me about world leaders. We can just let everything play out in Gaza, but world leaders are coming to the sides of the terrorist organization Hamas and blaming Israel for all of this, and they're saying, use restraint. I don't know any other world leader, if his capital city was being fired upon, if his people were under threat of some type of a rocket killing them, indeed, they would be doing something to deal with the situation. What about these world leaders calling for restraint and blaming Israel?
It's pretty extraordinary. Unfortunately, it's something we've also become used to. This blame Israel first mentality. As soon as Israel strikes back after it has been hit, after it has exercised restraint for weeks on end while its territory is being hit by rocket fire from Hamas, then when Israel strikes back, it's Israel's fault. This is really, I think, a pathetic expression of anti-Semitism that you see still in Europe. It is still there, just barely under the surface. It hides itself under the name of anti-Zionism. But if you kind of scratch that a little bit, what does anti-Zionism mean? It means people who do not believe that Jews have the right to a Jewish state. And if Jews don't have the right to a Jewish state, where are the 6 million to 7 million Jews who currently live in Israel going to go? That is, I believe, calls for a new form of genocide against Jews in the Middle East. We need to identify it for what it is and treat it the way it deserves.
Absolutely. I would agree with that statement 100%. I personally had the opportunity several years ago to be in Ashkelon, and I saw the remains of a Grad missile. And it said right there on the missile, the remains of it, that it had been manufactured in Iran. Now, some of those missiles that have been fired, reaching up to Tel Aviv, over to Jerusalem, even as far north as Haifa, had to be these Grad missiles from Iran. And they're calling for the Islamic world to join with Hamas. Plus, in addition to that, they're supplying their weapons and their munitions. Iran's not going to go away as a threat to the entire world, are they?
Well, no, and it's kind of interesting to see this Iranian involvement in the current strikes against Israel. They're using the current version of the missile is called the Fajr 5, and the Israelis have put it on display. It has a much longer range than earlier missiles that rockets that Hamas has been using, and it is made in Iran. It's a solid fuel missile that Iran acquired originally from the Chinese. They got the technology from the Chinese. There's some speculation that these missiles are being fabricated in workshops in Gaza. My guess is that they're just being assembled, and they need to get the rocket motors, which are fairly complicated to produce directly from Iran. But the Iranians seek to use Hamas as they use the Taliban and other Sunni Islamist groups to further their goal of destroying Israel, of destroying America, of creating chaos throughout the Middle East. We saw this in Benghazi, and that's the subject of my recent book, Dark Forces, The Truth About What Happened in Benghazi, where the Iranian regime worked directly with Sunni fundamentalist groups, with Islamist groups in Benghazi, to target the United States and our diplomatic compound and the CIA annex. So the Iranians have a grand overarching strategy, which is not just to destroy Israel, but to push the United States out of the Persian Gulf, to push the United States out of the Middle East in general, and to replace the United States as the hegemon in the region. Of course, beyond that, they would like to destroy America. They've said this repeatedly, and I think we need to take them seriously when they do say that. And the power that they would have to destroy America is economic on the one hand, but it's also through the use of an electromagnetic pulse nuclear weapon, something that we know that the Iranians are engaged in developing.
Give me about 20 seconds, if you will, Ken. Where's the world leader to help us bring this world out of chaos as it is today and come back to some type of stability?
Well, you know, I recently watched Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, America, and he asked a similar question. You know, where is George Washington? Where is Abraham Lincoln? Where is Ronald Reagan? And he said, we don't have those leaders today, but we have us. So it's really up to us, Jimmy. It's up to the people listening to this show. It's up to ordinary citizens to stand up for what we know is right, or stand up for the values that we know made this country great.
You know, Ken, just a moment ago, dear friends, mentioned his brand new book, Dark Forces, the real story behind the Benghazi attack on the American embassy there in Libya. It's available at Amazon.com or KenTimmerman.com. You can go to his website and purchase it. Let me suggest you do that. It's going to be a great read. Ken, thank you so very much for joining us, giving us great insight into geopolitical activities happening in two parts of the world, the Ukraine and the Gaza Strip. Appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy, and God bless.